This episode of Sig Neutron Sputron brought to you by
Doppelbanger, coming soon to a theater near you.
What's up, everybody? It's episode 14. Damn, I've done 14 whole episodes of this show so far. Yeah, well, you know, Mercury's in retrograde and all that business, and I was trying to figure out what this episode was going to be about. It's going to have all your usual favorite weird segments and shit. But, man, I don't know. I was thinking real hard, trying to figure out what to write about or what to talk about. And I think this episode, I dug through the archives. I got some weird tidbits of things that I've written down over the ages. And yeah, Mercury in retrograde. What is that? What does that mean? Well, I'll explain that to you, and then you can believe it or not, but I'll explain what the deal is, so at least you know when somebody's like, oh shit, Mercury's in retrograde. Also, I've dug up a whole bunch of fun things that I wonder about sometimes, and I did some research, and then I'll just impart the knowledge upon y'all, so you can be like, oh, I know that too. So it'll be like a bigger dumb bullshit segment this time, as well as all the other shit. So, guess what? I'm Sig Neutron, and this is
Sig Neutron Sputron.
Hello, 8-bit breakdown.
Leave a lot of lonely motherfuckers.
Howdy, howdy. All right, so this Mercury in retrograde business. Well, it's an actual celestial phenomena. Which I'll cover and tell you what that is. And it's also pertaining to astrology and things. And it's a shitty time. And, you know, once you know about it, then let's see, I don't know. Let's see if your life is shitty around these parts. I mean, it's not all shitty, but, you know, hey, you can decide for yourself if you think it's a real thing or not. So, what it is in the actual physical phenomena is Mercury. If you know that little planet, it is the first planet closest to the sun, and it's named for Mercury or Hermes, the messenger of the gods. A mercurial year, I don't even know if you can use the phrase mercurial, but I'm saying it because it sounds cool, but a year on Mercury is 87.97 days. How fun is that, huh? Yeah, because it's close to the sun, so it has a smaller orbit around it. Interestingly enough, there's actually water on Mercury, and it sits in the frozen basins. It's frozen because where the sun is not touching the surface of Mercury, it's super fucking cold. It goes from extremes, super hot, super cold. I thought that was a fun little fact. We've also actually sent two different spacecraft to Mercury. The Mariner 10 flew by it in 1974 and 1975, and the Messenger, which launched in 2004, and it orbited Mercury over 4,000 times in 4 years before it exhausted its fuel and crashed into the surface on April 30th, 2015. So there are things from Earth on Mercury. Didn't know if you knew that, because I didn't know that. Learn all kinds of fun stuff when you start looking. The Bepi Colombo spacecraft is planned to arrive at Mercury in 2025. What are we going to find? I don't know. So, Mercury in retrograde, it's where the Earth sort of passes Mercury in its orbit, and it makes it look like Mercury is going backwards, but it's not really, it's still moving, the Earth is just passing it, if that makes any sense. They use the analogy of like two cars, like you pass a car, you guys are both going down the highway, you pass a car, and then it, you know, even though both cars are moving, it looks like the car is going backwards. So that's sort of the same phenomena of Mercury in retrograde. So now what does that mean astrologically and spiritually? Ooh. So apparently when Mercury is in retrograde, it fucks up communication and technology. So your phone can act all weird and not getting any service. Usually like issues with cars. Also, they say you shouldn't sign any contracts or business deals. And it's just a time to slow down and like reflect and revise things. Like, look at your current state of life, and before you make any like life-altering decisions, this is a nice time to reflect and make sure that you got everything in order. It's, you know, I don't know, man. I personally have experienced weird phenomena during Mercury in retrograde. This year it is in retrograde this month, July 7th through July 31st, and then it goes back into retrograde October 31st to November 20th. So where did it all start? Why did we start with this whole Mercury in retrograde thing come about? Well, I was looking it up, and it looks like in 18th century, it started out in farmer's almanacs, and it was considered like an ill omen. And then the whole spiritualism craze of the Victorian era went booming, and more and more negative associations became associated with Mercury. And then in the 1970s, when astrology really started to boom, then people sort of latched on to this idea that Mercury, when it's in retrograde, like bad things happen. I feel like some years sometimes I've noticed like noticeably like, okay, shit seems to be pretty fucked up right now. But some years, I don't know. I don't really. So I don't know if it's a thing or not. I can't really say for sure. But I do believe that they're like, you know, the astrology, I think it's very important and it makes a lot of sense sometimes, but sometimes meaning gets misconstrued. So I'm not sure if this is one of those misconstrued meaning times or if it actually is something. So, you know, hey, I don't know, take inventory of your life and see what you think. But either way, now you know what the whole Mercury in retrograde business be about. I feel like it should be some kind of like 80s band name or something, some synth wave band should have Mercury retrograde as their or Mercurial retrograde. I could totally see it. I don't know about you guys, but I cannot get enough Gordon Ramsay. All of his shows, I eat all of them up. Except the F word. I think that's where he took it to. Like, Fox just kept giving him all these shows, and then Gordon Ramsay's like, I like makeup and this and that, and then let's set it in a live restaurant. And they're all like, okay, Gordon Ramsay. I couldn't get behind that one. But, you know, it's funny because I just think about, like, his whole appeal and his whole shtick, and I don't think that if he was like American that it would even work. Can you imagine an American guy in Britain shouting as an American to basically mentally abuse British people? Like, you fucking piece of shit, what the fuck is wrong with you? But then Gordon Ramsay's like, oh, you piece of shit, what's wrong with... And everybody's like, oh, it's Gordon Ramsay. Oh, yeah, he's adorable, angry, adorable British man. It's funny to think about it the other way. I don't think it would work at all. You know, and I know the more Gordon Ramsay that you watch, the more charming and a good guy he seems to be. But I wonder how much that is his writers, or if he actually was that way all along. Because he usually, like, he tears down people and, you know, to build them back up in the right ways. But I just wonder, if that was his goal all along, or if he was just some lucky asshole that was just a real jerk to everybody, and these writers were like, okay, let's hone in his asshole-ishness and flip it around at the end and make him actually not really an asshole. He just wanted to shake people out of their patterns. I don't know. Either way, I fucking love it. I eat it up. And he has this odd obsession now with makeup effects. I want to do makeup on Gordon Ramsay. Gordon Ramsay, if you're listening, or if anybody that knows Gordon Ramsay, let him know that Sig Neutron wants to collaborate with him and do makeup on Gordon Ramsay. I think I would be like really terrified and nervous to do makeup on Gordon Ramsay, dude. Oh my God. I don't know. Maybe I don't want to do that. So I was in Big Lots the other day, and I found it ironic that the most disorganized part of the store was the puzzle section. I would think that section would attract people that likes to put things back where they go, but I guess not. Oh, Big Lots and 99-cent stores. That's like, Big Lots is where flavors go to die. If you ever look at the chip section of any Big Lots, there's all of these weird experimental flavors that obviously didn't go widespread. So next time you're in a Big Lots or like 99-cent store, be sure to check out the chip flavors, because there you'll find some real gems in there. Big Lots, the Flavyard. This is Bobby Flav, and this is the Flavyard. I want to start a cooking network show, The Flavyard, and just go find weird flavors of chips. Or, oh man, that's a good idea, to just go, I don't even know how I'd do the research on this, but find weird flavors that companies thought about making, or actually did at one point, and they just never took off. Because you know that they, like, especially with fast food places, they test little areas, usually in the Midwest. They'll have a new product, like the cheesy crunchy panoramic burrito. I don't know. I feel like Taco Bell just adds adjectives to whatever. It's like, it's cheesy, zesty, crunchy. And they just, it's like the Taco Bell test kitchen. They just have little containers that just say cheesy, zesty, crunchy. And then they're just like, okay, what can we make with these adjectives, guys? All right, let's test it out in Indiana. Do they like it? All right, now we're going nationwide, boys. I want to be that guy that just takes adjectives and makes Taco Bell stuff. Speaking of that, I just saw that KFC has a Cheetos chicken sandwich where they actually put Cheetos on the chicken sandwich. We live in such a oddly decadent country. It's just, I don't know. I don't know if other countries are doing the same things like that. Like, how much junk food can we pile into one thing and then people will eat it up? Like, I don't know. And I fall victim for that shit too. So I'm not talking shit on anybody that likes it. Like, if I was eating meat right now, I would totally get a chicken Cheetos sandwich. You're damn right. You know, the unfortunate thing about a bag of chips is that it can go from a bag to a piece of paper in one unfortunate instant. And where does that leave the chips? All over the floor. Speaking of junk food in America, man, white people, and I'm one of them, so, I mean, we have the strangest eating habits. Maybe other white people can relate to growing up. Like, how many of your family, you grew up and food, they would get food or it would come out, and immediately they would grab the salt and pepper shaker and just douse it in salt and pepper, not even tasting it. Every single person in my family did that, and I thought that was the normal thing to do. I thought, oh, food comes out and it needs to be salted and peppered. But actually, now that I'm like an adult, I realize it's not the case. Usually, most often, the food is supposed to be made to where it's perfectly edible. There are some exceptions, but I didn't realize how weird that was until I moved to LA and I realized nobody does that out here. Also, white people do not know how to use soy sauce. Oh my God. Growing up, again, like, you just have white rice and people just dump soy sauce on it. Now that I'm older, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You don't just dump soy sauce on things. It's not how it's meant to be used. It is not meant as a sauce for rice, okay? Man, I don't know. Speaking of eating habits, I used to weigh like 175 and I could eat whatever I wanted. And then, I don't know, somewhere along the line, it just started blowing up. And then I realized all that extra weight was just emotional baggage. And that shit's hard to lose. That's an old note from my phone. It's not as relevant now, but, you know, which I'm glad because, I don't know, I've actually realized that getting healthy and losing weight is a whole process of, like, it's a mental and physical thing. I realized I wasn't getting anywhere because I was failing on the physical or the mental side. Actually, no, that still reigns true, but, yeah, that's a sad but true joke, I guess. Working out is hard. You look at those, like, the workout machines where you're on the bike or something, and it feels like you're going to town, man. You're, like, got your music blaring. It's like, ja-ja-ja-ja-ja-ja-ja-ja-ja. You're sweating and, like, wah! And then you look at the calories that you've burnt, and it's not even amounts to a can of Vienna sausages. It's like, fuck. I love Vienna sausages. And I know because I've looked at how many calories they have, and then I can't unlook at that. So I don't even look at the how many calories you burn if I'm on one of those machines. Just don't do it. It's not worth it. just feel like, I think feeling like you've got a really good workout is better than calorie counting. Calorie counting? Calorie counting. Jeez. Maybe there's some truth to that. Maybe it goes back to that whole mental, physical thing. I don't know. So I saved a pigeon the other day. It had a bag on its head. And I was like, oh, shit. And he's like in the parking lot and he was going to suffocate. So I tried to reach down and you know, pull the bag off. But then I started thinking, I was like, shit, well, maybe he wanted the bag on there. Maybe he wanted to die. He was pecking at me all crazy, too, when I was trying to take it off. And he's like, motherfucker, you know how long it took me to get this fucking bag on my head? And I don't even have fucking thumbs just for some random jackass to walk by and pull it off? Fuck you, man! So I don't know whether or not to feel good or bad about that. You know the thing I've never understood about Dracula, the film? Is that, okay, so Dracula is like, he's trying to find his lost love, and he finds her, and then he crosses oceans of time to wolf bang her friend or something. What's the deal with that? Like, why does he end up banging Lucy or whatever her name is as a wolf? He's like, hey, check this shit out. I'm a wolf. I've crossed oceans of time to bang your friend, but as a werewolf, so it's okay, right? Like, what was that? It makes no sense to me, and I've watched it over and over again, and it still doesn't make any sense at all. Speaking of things in movies that don't make sense, you know Gizmo from the Gremlins? He's like the worst fucking dad ever. He gets wet and he pops out all these kids, and then he spends the rest of the movie trying to hunt them down and kill them. Like, come on, man, what the fuck? How long do you think it is until they make Meme the movie? The Meme movie. They already did it with emojis. I see it now. I foresee it. The Meme movie. Oh, so what would the plot of the Meme movie be? Okay, something else I don't understand. Every time I'm in a parking lot, the parking lots are always littered with those, like, little teeth flosser toothpick things. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, why are they just everywhere in the parking lot? Is there, like, some weird parking lot sex act that I don't know about or something? Or, it's like, are people just flossing on the go all the time and I'm really dropping the ball and I should be really up in my floss game? Because, like, all the time. They are just everywhere. Next time you're in a parking lot, look at the ground and you're going to see those fucking floss things everywhere. And if you're one of those people that drop your floss things everywhere, well then fuck you, because stop doing that, because that's fucking weird, it's gross, and it's fucking not good for the environment. Assholes.
You assholes with perfect teeth. You busy flossers on the go. Go flossers.
On that note, why don't we take a break? We'll be right back.
Imagine waking up one day.
I'll have a nice latte.
Sure, Brad.
Wait. How did you know my name?
Well.
Where everyone knows your name. But that's not all they know.
Tom, you're my best friend. You gotta help me. Everyone I meet, literally every single person, thinks they've had sex with me. I feel like I'm losing my fucking mind.
Wait, Brad. So you're saying we didn't have sex?
See? This is what I'm talking about. Wait.
How was it?
It was, okay, I guess.
Where the whole world thinks you've banged them, and it was okay, they guess.
How'd you find me?
I spent hours looking at the library through those projector things, reading about your case in 1971. The same thing is happening to me. What is going on?
Oh, I thought you were here because we banged last night.
Ah, fuck!
Well, in that case, you're dealing with the doppelbanger. It's like your evil twin, except this twin sucks at fucking and fucks all consenting adults in one night. It's like the Santa Claus of sucky fucks, and it only has one list. Naughty.
How do we stop it?
I don't know if you've noticed, but you found me living off the grid in the backwoods of Kentucky, living off beans and squirrel meat. There is no stopping it. The dirty deed has been done. Dirt cheap.
No!
Doppelbanger. This summer, your reputation is about to get around.
And we're back. You know, I'm actually looking forward to seeing the doppelbanger. Think about how terrifying that would be. It would be so awful. Just everybody you meet thinks that you've had sex with them. And that you were, like, on top of that, you're just really bad at sex. So there's many layers of terrible there. That's actually a true psychological horror film, I think. So I pulled some strings, and I got an exclusive. I got a song from the soundtrack here from the doppelbanger. So here, let's give this one a spin.
Why is everyone looking at me like seeing my peen? Go out and all I get are looks of shame and regret. Everyone is like, about last night, finally it hits me, something's not right. Lady on the corner starts to harangue. Everyone I meet thinks that we bang. I got an apple banger. Blowing up my phone, just leave me alone. How many did it bone? Even Stallone? What the fuck should I do? My whole life just went askew. Someone's out there posing as me, voting everyone they see. I got a doppelbanger. I gotta tell them to run. I gotta go and hide. I gotta get off the grid. I gotta go inside. I gotta get away. I gotta move today. I gotta change my face. I gotta find a way. When did I get so unlucky? Living off the land. Solitude is all I can stand. All over the place. Can't show my face. Everywhere I go, everybody knows. I got a doppelbanger. I gotta go on the run. I gotta go and hide. I gotta get off the grid. I gotta go inside. I gotta get away. I gotta move today. I gotta change my face. I gotta find a way. Living off cans of beans. Living off squirrel meats. Who is this creature? Why'd it ruin my life? I'd really love to meet her. It caused me so much strife. I need to go and find it. It's life! I got a doppelbanger! I got a doppelbanger! I got a doppelbanger! Now, I got a doppelbanger! It could be anyone! It could be anything! It could be beside you! It could be your next fling!
If it can mimic me,
it can mimic you! And then you finally see, I don't know what to do! I got a doppelbanger! I got a doppelbanger! I got a doppelbanger! No, I got a doppelbanger! I got a doppelbanger! I got a doppelbanger! I got a doppelbanger! No, I got a doppelbanger! It could be anyone, it could be anything, it could be beside you, it could be your next fling!
If it can mimic me,
it can mimic you, and then you finally see, I don't know what to do! I got a doppelbanger! I got a doppelbanger! I got a doppelbanger! No, I got a doppelbanger!
Doppelbanger, everybody. Sure to break the box office. Oh, boy.
Well, I promised you the dumb bullshit, and you shall have the dumb bullshit. You there, boy, fetch me my dumb bullshit.
All right, sir. You don't have to shout, you know.
Dumb bullshit you can know, and it won't change your life, and it won't pay your taxes, and it won't call your grandma when you should, and it won't fix your drinking problem, but it might make you look cool at a party.
Get them digits.
So I was thinking about those big old-timey bicycles, and I don't know, you know, the one with the big wheel and then the in the front and then the tiny wheel. I don't know if you guys ever think about them, but I was under the impression that that was the very first bicycle ever made. But in fact, that is not the case. They were actually the first bicycles were actually more akin to the modern bicycles, but they had metal tires and they were horribly uncomfortable, and the roads were so messed up back in the day that they called the bikes bone shakers. So they actually came out with the ones with the big tire, and it actually absorbed some shock because the roads sucked, so you could easily roll over potholes. Plus, since it's a fixed gear bike, you could actually go faster with ease. Wow. Yes, you could go faster with less effort because the bigger the tire, the less you have to turn the pedal. Ha-ha! Capital idea! But then once tires caught up to the... You know, they improved the tires. That's when they decided to stop making the giant big-wheeled bicycles because they were horribly unsafe. Like, it was just so common that they were so, like, off-balance that people all the time flew forward, and they called it taking a header. And it was so common that actually when they were going down a hill, people would actually put their legs over the handlebars so that if they took a spill, then they would land on their feet and not their head. So, fun facts about the old school bicycle, which I thought was the first, but 'twas not. Also, fun fact, the inventor of the wheelie was a guy named Dan Canary. So you ever wonder, I mean, we were all taught that the Earth has a molten core, but you ever thought about that as an adult or thought about it recently? Like, how do they know that? If you had forgotten in science as I had, I looked it back up because I was curious. Like, apparently the center of the Earth is 6,000 kilometers down. That's the central point. And the deepest hole that we've ever bored into the Earth is the Kola Super Deep Hole, borehole, in Russia. And that only goes down 12 point something kilometers. If you've ever seen that, look at Google, the deepest part of the ocean, and Google how far we've actually went down. And there's these little graphs or like little pictures that give you scale of how insanely, like, we haven't gotten anywhere near the bottom of the ocean. It's fascinating. So I'm like, well, how do they know what's in the middle of it? Well, apparently, to account for the mass of the Earth, they check how the gravity affects things on the Earth. So they've calculated the mass of the Earth, and the surface doesn't account for all that mass, so they expect
they think that obviously that has to be somewhere, so it has to be in the middle. So it's actually kind of a lot more speculative than, I thought it was. We've never actually seen any physical evidence of it. We just know that there's all the mass there, and they know that iron is the most abundant material in our universe. It's in everything from meteorites and everything, so they theorize that all of the iron kind of got pulled down by gravity into the center. And here's the cool part of how do they know it's liquid and molten? Well, apparently that came from seismology. So whenever earthquakes hit, it's like kind of like hitting the earth with a hammer and then listening to the other side of the earth to hear the sound. So these things called S waves. And when they had these readers or whatever on the other side of the earth from there was a big giant earthquake in Chile or something. And they were expecting to pick up the S waves on the other side of the earth, but some of them were missing. So the only way that happens is if it went through some sort of liquid. So there they have theorized that it is a liquid core of molten iron. Because at the center of the earth, the pressure is apparently crazy deep, which makes sense. But wait, actually, a Danish seismologist, her name was Inga Lehmann, she actually noticed another kind of waves called P waves, and this was in the 1930s, and they actually did make it through the Earth. So that led her to the conclusion that the inner core is actually solid, and the outer core around the inner core is what is molten. So, didn't know that. Also, I'm learning about seismology. Countries were able to essentially spy on other countries and their nuclear tests because detonating nuclear bombs actually gives off such an intense shockwave that it can be read in the other part of the world. So that's how some countries were spying on other countries and finding out about their nuclear capabilities. Huh. Seismology, yes. So basically, there's a lot of, they actually don't know the actual composition of, because apparently there's other elements down there that are throwing off these P waves and S waves that come through, so science is actually not sure the actual composition of the Earth. That's pretty exciting. I thought the more I do research and the more I start like learning about things, I just always assumed that, yeah, we got all this shit figured out. We got the world figured out, but not really. Like, there are still many mysteries, and you just gotta go start looking for them, because, don't just assume we got this world figured out, because we most certainly do not. But the molten core that shifts around actually creates the magnetic field, which protects us, and that's why magnets work and things like that. And so it's something's moving around down there, and it is, and it only makes sense that it would be molten something, because when the pressure is so intense, it also generates heat and things like that. So just a fun little geology sesh for y'all there. Hope you enjoyed that one, because I did. I learned a lot, actually, looking that up. Okay, now for the next segment of the show, which I just did a couple shows ago, and I like it, so we're doing it again. A little segment I like to call...
Things we say are so weird, they are told. Idioms.
So what are idioms? It's those weird little phrases that we say that we have no idea where they come from. So here's the origin of a couple other of ye old idioms. So, you ever said steal someone's thunder? You ever thought about why you say that? Well, apparently in the 1700s, there was a guy named John Dennis, and he had a play with thunder in it, and he invented a thunder-making noise machine. His play flopped, but apparently his thunder-making noise machine was a hit because somebody else stole it and used it for another play in the same playhouse, and he was very upset about it. So then that became known as stealing someone's thunder.
Idioms.
You ever said, "Hoo doggy, that boy about to fly off the handle"? Because I've said that a couple of times. That comes from back in the day when, factories and things like that, poorly made axes would actually, the axe head would actually fly off the handle. And it's very dangerous, and it's quite upsetting. So naturally, you don't want to be around when they fly off the handle.
Idioms.
How's about close, but no cigar? Well, that actually comes from the 1930s when Carney Games actually gave away cigars as prizes. Well, that makes total sense. Because it's close, but no cigar. Maybe you'll pop that balloon next time.
Idioms.
Chewing the fat comes from sailing days, where if sailors ran out of food, they always kept a store of salted pork skin or salted pork, but it was mainly fat. And they would only eat that if all of the other food was gone. And when they were eating it, they were complaining about it. So they were chewing the fat.
Idioms.
Gadzooks. I had no idea that gadzooks is what's called a minced oath. Minced oaths are supposedly Bible-friendly swear words. And gadzooks is a way to say, apparently, God's hooks, which refer to the nails on the that were used to crucify Jesus. I didn't know that people cursed by saying God's hooks, but I guess they did, and they changed it to gadzooks as to not get in trouble. Also, apparently jeepers was Jesus, and gosh for God, y'all know that one. Y'all know that one.
Idioms.
Okay, y'all, so I've went through my old DVD collection. I'm kind of sad because I guess I'm sad. I don't know. I used to collect DVDs all the time. And me and my friends, we'd always have like kind of competitions of collecting. And a lot of my friends went for quantity, but I was always like a quality kind of guy. So everybody else had bigger collections, but I had a better collection. So just saying. But I haven't bought any DVDs in forever. And oh, don't get me started on Blu-rays. I hate it. It makes everything look like a soap opera or something. It looks too good. It like sucks all the artsy feel out of it. I don't know. I can't handle high def Blu-ray business. I need that old film look. But anyways, I pulled out some some of my favorite DVDs, and I'll give you a synopsis in the segment that I like to call
There is a whole world out there of weird shit that you should put into your sensory orifices.
Get Rex on, I'm gonna relay some information. Get Rex on, I'm gonna relay some information. First up on the docket, we have Six String Samurai. Vegas needs a new king. I absolutely adore this film because not only do I love post-apocalyptic things, I also love rockabilly music, psychobilly, anything. And it's like mixing all of that. Post-apocalyptic, samurai, rockabilly film. The synopsis is, the six-string samurai is Buddy, a mysterious and powerful hero of the post-apocalyptic future who must fight his way to Lost Vegas and ditch a bothersome orphan kid if he's ever to become the next king of rock and roll. Along the way, they encounter bounty-hunting bowlers, a cannibalistic cleaver family, a windmill god, and even the Russian army. Winding up at the gates of Vegas, Buddy finds himself in an epic battle with death over the child's soul and comes to realize just what it means to be king. I mean, if that didn't sell you, I don't know what else I could say for it. But definitely check it out. Six String Samurai. It's got the band The Red Elvises in it as well. Yes, check that one out. Next up, we got Dead Leaves. This is a weird one. I found it a long time ago, and it's like an anime, but the animation style is so fucking cool, and I love it. So here, let's read the thing here. So, Pandy and Retro awaken naked on Earth with no recollection of their past. They embark on a devastating crime spree in search of food, clothing, and transportation, but are captured by authorities and sent to the infamous lunar penitentiary named Dead Leaves. While incarcerated, they quickly discover that Dead Leaves is also a top-secret cloning facility, occupied by villainous guards and deformed genetic experiments. Ultramanic chaos and hyper-violent bedlam ensues as they organize a prison break with the aid of their fellow mutant inmates. It's so good. Oh, man, just reading the back just gets me so pumped for it again. It's so good. It's so, so good. So, Dead Leaves, definitely check it out. Now we got these are all my faves. I gotta stop saying that. Anyways, Murder Party. If you haven't seen it, it's just a good old, horror comedy, I guess. But there's no monsters or anything in it, but here's the synopsis. On Halloween Eve in Brooklyn, an average Joe loser named Chris finds an invitation to a costume party. Arriving at the party, Chris discovers he's fallen prey to a lethal trap set by deranged artists. As the night wears on, rivalries within the group flare up. A body count accrues, and Chris must take advantage of the ensuing chaos if he's to survive the night. I actually went, the main character, he goes as like a cardboard knight. So I actually made, that was my Halloween costume 1 year. But it's pretty great. Yeah, he shows up at a party. He's just some lonely guy, and he shows up to the party, and all these people want to kill him. It's like, if you live in LA, it's very funny too, because the artist people, you're like, yep, I know those people. Here's another one that I may have talked about before, but I'm going to talk about it again. It's Tokyo Gore Police. So I'll read the synopsis on this, because I didn't read the synopsis for it last time. So Tokyo Gore Police is from my favorite genres, Japanese splatter films. They're so amazing, and I love them. They're so good. So the creative team behind The Machine Girl is back together for Tokyo Gore Police, a cult action horror starring Auditions Ihishina? I hope I said that right. As a cop forced to battle off a swarm of hideous mutants spawned by a man-made virus. Machine Girl effects guru Yoshihiro Nishimura takes the helm for this one. So that's what I was saying before, I think. The Yoshihiro Nishimura, he was the effects guy for Machine Girl, and now he's directing this one. So it's just batshit bonkers effects. He's like basically made a film as an excuse to do ridiculous gore effects. And I'm all about it, and I love it. So working from a script by the writer Uzumaki, I'm assuming that's supposed to say, working from a script by the writer of Uzumaki. I don't know, it doesn't list the name, that's odd. This might be a bootcut. Oh God, yeah, this is a bootcut DVD. Oh, the days when I had to find bootcut DVDs. I bet DVDs are much more accessible these days. All of which means this thing has cult credentials like nobody's business. What it also has is an unstoppable string of wildly over-the-top creature and gore effects washed down by buckets and buckets of blood. Well, that's a funny description on the back there. Don't buy bootleg DVDs. Here we go. Next up is Splatter, Naked Blood. Hisayasu Sato's notorious sex and gore masterpiece. This one's a fun one, and not for the squeamish. A young scientist named Iji sets out to help humanity by developing the ultimate painkiller. To evaluate it, he secretly adds his drug to a contraceptive that his mother has been testing at a local clinic. Oh God. Her studies involve three young and attractive women. Of these women, one loves to eat, one is obsessively narcissistic, while the third has a serious case of insomnia. Iji begins following the three unsuspecting guinea pigs to observe their reactions to his new creation, secretly videotaping them and recording the results. His experiment spirals out of control when the women discover that pain now gives them a deeply sensual pleasure. The more horrible acts of self-mutilation they commit, the better it feels. Oh, no. Cult director Hisayasu Sato examines the detriment of a culture absorbed with superficiality and consumption with some of the most graphic and shocking scenes ever shot on film, including the infamous coochie-licious culinary delight, fish fry fingers, and the pretty, pretty school of piercing. What the fuck does any of that mean? Naked Blood packs an incredible punch that will not easily be forgotten. It gets super bizarre too. I mean, like, as if self-mutilation is not that bizarre. I remember it taking a real strange turn at some point. Check it out. Splatter, Naked Blood. Next up is, and last but certainly not least, Big Boobs Buster. Another buxom bombshell falls prey to the masked vigilante, the Big Boobs Buster. Rumor has it that the vengeful villainess was once a mild-mannered student ridiculed and rejected for her small bust size. Now the spurned woman gets even by donning a ridiculous costume and taunting her well-endowed nemesis. Will bouncy co-eds across the land be forced undercover? Is any bosomy beauty safe from the Big Boobs Buster? I haven't seen this one in a while, and the Big Boobs Buster, I mean, it implies that she looks like a superhero, but it kind of implies that she's a villain. So I don't know. I remember it being ridiculous, and you should check it out. Big Boobs Buster. So there's all my recommendations for this episode. And I think that's about gonna do it for this episode. If you want to find me on the socials, I am at SigNeutron on Instagram and Twitter. I also stream a lot on Twitch, twitch.tv/SigNeutron, where you can go hang out with me live and watch me work on stuff, because I have more than just a pretty voice. so go follow me on those things, and you know what? I would definitely appreciate it if you dig in my podcast, please spread the word and share it around, and you know, please review it on any whatever podcasting site you listen to it. The reviews really help it get seen, and if it's seen, then it can be heard. So please, if you dig it, help a neutron out. Definitely appreciate it. But until next time, everybody, stay weird and break the patterns. Break patterns. Stay weird and stay weird and fight the pattern. Maybe that's cool. No, I don't know. I don't know. Do something, do something this week that pulls you out of your pattern of your usual. Change it up a little bit. Do something you don't usually do this week and see if it makes you feel better, because it might just be the thing that you needed to break you out of some bullshit. That was a pretty good outro. Okay, good night.